Glad to see folks from Bethlehem down tonight. That really blesses my heart. And today we had a chance to go down and take care of the tent. We went today. The Lord made it possible for us to go today and finish paying for the big white tent. So he's got it ready. It should be ready. And by Wednesday, not of this week, but of the next week, it should be ready. And we'll be able, by the help of the Lord, to work with Brother Wilson a little bit as we set it up over in the Carolinas. And between this one, that one, and I think Brother Delma's about got his big one that the brethren gave him all fixed up from the storm. And if that's true, then between those, we should be able to reach a few more people. And same time, try to keep the fires burning on the home front. Good to see our Brother Gonzalez tonight. Brother Gonzalez, wonderful missionary to Mexico, has done such wonderful work, outstanding things. And also our Brother John Jameson over here. He also is another outstanding missionary that's done some wonderful work in old Mexico. We're certainly glad to have these people here with us. They've labored and sacrificed much in the areas of old Mexico so that the gospel could be spread there. We're glad to be able to do what little we can down here in this area. And God is doing a new thing. How do you believe God does a new thing? God does a new thing. God's doing a new thing. He's doing something here in this area he's never done before. Tonight, so Brother Pike, we've had tent meetings before, and I'm sure that you have, and I'm sure that God was doing something during the tent meeting. But in spite of what God was doing then, God is now doing a new thing. Something brand new all over again, God's doing. You know, that's what makes it so exciting in serving God, is that God always does something new. God never... Things never get old with God. God always does something new. So then tonight, God is doing a beautiful thing, and it's a new thing. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Hallelujah. I wonder how many of you have been praying for the meeting. Amen. That's good. That's good. It's such a wonderful thing to be a part of what God is doing. You've got your Bibles. I'd like for you to read with me over in the book of St. John, the 7th chapter. I hope Brother Taylor's got a little water handy over here. The book of St. John, in the 7th chapter, the 42nd, 43rd verse. It reads like this: Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. All right. I want to tarry just a little bit on those thoughts. You know, as I have said so many times, I do not choose my scriptural text. For many long years, I've not chosen my scriptural text. Years ago, when I first started into the ministry, I would choose my text, and then God would confound me, and I'd just go altogether contrary to it. So I quit choosing the text to read and started letting God have His way. And as I began to let God have His way, then God began to unravel the mysteries of Christ to me. And so tonight, my heart is filled with the mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. My cup runs over. There's hardly a day that goes by but what God speaks to me about the mysteries of Christ. Continues to enlarge my vessel with the great mysteries of Jesus Christ. Paul, though he said he had much revelation, yet he made the statement, I shall doubtless come to vision and revelation. And I emphasized the other night, the Scriptures tells us that we should pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. If God has never granted unto you the spirit of revelation, you need to pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of Revelation. I believe that the church is in the hand of God, don't you? I believe that God's got his hands on the church. And I believe that God has given the church his spirit. And I believe that God has blessed the church. God has worked miracles among the church. He has done great things among the people. He has sent great tent revivals and great church revivals down through the years. God has sent a revival in the Baptist church. God has sent a revival in the Methodist church. And there was a time that God even sent a revival in the Catholic church. But God has moved on to do a new thing, isn't that right? The Assemblies of God, God has moved. In the Church of God, God has moved. In the UPC, God has moved. And God has continued to move on and do a new thing. Among the non-denominational people that have drawn to themselves, God has made a move among them. And you know, they were so sure that God had chosen them above the others. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it, the way that God works. When the Catholics began to fail God, God began to move on, and Luther was positive that God had rejected all the rest and accepted him and his teachings and those that were with him. But after a while, God moved on from Luther. Isn't that right? Wesley, the same. God moved on from Wesley. When the Methodist people got it, they were so sure that they had gotten God and everybody else was cut out. Because God gave them a new method, and Wesley called it the Methodist Church. But God moved on, didn't he? And after a while, when the Baptists got a hold of it, they thought sure that God had thrown the Methodists down and all the rest, and that God had chosen them above all people, and God gave them a revival, but God moved on, didn't he? Amen. And then when the Churches of God and the Assemblies of God and the UPC and the Pentecostal Holiness and the others came, when the Pentecostal moved, they were convinced that God had thrown down all of them and forsook all of them and had chosen them to be his people. Is that right? But God moved on, didn't he? Amen. And then there came some non-denominational people. I remember when they began to call it the latter rain. And non-denominational work sprang up all around the nation, all around the different parts of the world. Is that right? And they were so sure that God had rejected all of the denominational folks and that God had chosen them, but God moved on, didn't he? Hallelujah. God's still moving by His Spirit tonight. God moves on. Hallelujah. People may stop, but God keeps on moving. Hallelujah. And so then God's moving tonight. Hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Pike, what's this new thing God's doing tonight? He's doing the last thing now. Hallelujah. You say, what's that? He's bringing the revelation of Jesus Christ. And folks, this time it really is God's people. And God will move on, but he'll move on with his people this time right out of this world. Amen. Hallelujah. So then it is a great thing. It was a great thing in Wesley's day. It was a great thing in Luther's day, and God had to let them believe that that was the only move he was going to make. He had to do that. God has to do that. But God has done more than just inform us of something in this latter time. He has revealed to us that it really is the last move of God. Showed me that it is God's last move, and why it's God's last move, and how that it's God's last move. How it thrills my heart. To understand is one of the sweetest things that I've ever come into in my life. To be able to know. People spend many years in college, and many years in study, many years in research. There's been many, many people that spent a lifetime in trying to understand. Amen. They've read a lot of books and studied a lot of books, folks. But I've found out there's one book that's the book of books, and this book can learn you all about the other book. And if you understand this book, you don't have to worry about the other book. There's no end to learning, Solomon said. There's no end to reading books. But if you learn about God, then you understand all the books. Hallelujah. So then it is a wonderful thing. The Bible tells us here that Jesus came, and the Bible scholars that have been reading the books had a dispute. Every time God goes to make a move, there's a dispute, isn't that right? They start disputing just as quick as God starts moving, and the Church of God will dispute with the Assemblies, and the Assemblies will dispute with the Pentecostal, and the Pentecostals with the UPC, and the UPC with the Baptists, and they'll have a great dispute. Now, the reason they have it is because they say, well, we don't understand. If there's going to be a move of God, it's supposed to come through the Church of God. Amen. Come on, folks. Yeah. Somebody said, no, if there's a move of God, it's got to come through the Assemblies. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. UPC says, no, if there's a move of God, it's bound to come through the UPC. Yeah. But God moves in His people. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether you're UPC, or whether you're Church of God, or whether you're Assembly of God. The thing is, whether or not you're human beings, God moves through human beings. And those human beings have to be in harmony with God for God to move through them. Amen. God doesn't move through brute beasts that's made to be taken and burned. He moves through human beings. God's people, God moves through God's people. There is no church that's got a monopoly on God, folks. There's no one that's got a monopoly on Christ. Christ moves when and where He gets ready. Amen. And He moves in the heart of mankind. If I humble my heart, God will move in me. You know, a lot of times we feel like God's got to have a great multitude to move in. But everything that God has ever done has been in a little body of people. When God used Gideon, God used a little body of people. Gideon had a great army, but God said, there's too many of you. And if I make a move through you, God will never get the glory for it. Is that right? God said, I'm going to have to narrow the thing down and cut it down a little bit to where I can get the glory. He said, if it's just a few of you, then I'll be able to get the glory. But if I use a great big move like the denominational powers of today, He said, I won't get the glory because they're already established in numbers and in power. Is that right? So God picks up a few little people, hallelujah, and He starts in them an angel, hallelujah, and it's a little baby when it begins to move. But after a while, God begins to pour out of the Spirit. And that little group begins to grow into a mighty power of God. Hallelujah. So then we see God is doing a new thing tonight. God is moving by His Spirit and moving in His people. Hallelujah. God always picks up a little group of people so He can get the glory for it. Amen. When God begins to move, in the days of Adam, the Bible tells us that sin came by one man. Isn't that right? It didn't take a whole slew of people to bring sin into existence. The Bible said that it came just by one individual, that was Adam. Is that right? And then when the Bible tells us of the restoration and the resurrection, and when life came, it didn't come by a whole group of people, did it? Did it? Did the resurrection come by a whole group of people? The Bible said that sin came by one man, so then the resurrection came by one man. Death came by one man, so then life came by one man. The Bible tells us inasmuch as sin and death come by a human being, that God chose a human being to conquer death. Come on. Amen. Death did not come by God. I've said this so many times in my meetings. A lot of people act like death is the first cousin to God. They act like death is God's best friend. Amen. A lot of people, a lot of churches seem to have the feeling that God and death is working hand in hand. Amen. When their loved ones die, they say, well, it's what God done. God gives and God takes. They go back to the book of Job and say, God gives and God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's good. That's the right kind of spirit. Hallelujah. Before Jesus Christ ever come on the scene, that's fine. That's what Job said. But brother, let me tell you something today. God doesn't want to take. God wants to give. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to take it away from you. The devil takes it away from you. You understand what I'm saying? God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Hallelujah. God has no fellowship with death. God is the enemy to death, and death is the enemy to God. God is trying to do away with death in your heart and in your mind. Hallelujah. God is doing away with death in your heart and mind, to them that can believe. Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, when this is going to happen? I've already done it. Amen. I've already conquered death. Hallelujah. Through Christ. Glory to God. I've conquered it through Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you conquered sickness tonight through Christ? Have you conquered poverty tonight through Christ? Amen. God wants you to conquer death. conquer sickness, conquer poverty. Amen. So that you can be a great people and move on. God wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some of you will never get out of being churchy. Somebody said one time, a lot of people, you know, they never get out of the flesh. Amen. They never get out of the flesh. But how do you know that you can't please God in the flesh? Amen. So afraid you'll get in the flesh, you never get out of it, somebody said. Is that right? So surveying the man of God and everything that comes through with your criticism and with your ideas about it and your feelings about it, till God's never able to do anything new in your heart. Amen. When God comes in, PhDs get him down under a microscope and they say, well, it doesn't read like this in our bylaws. Well, we've never had this in our discipline before. Why, this couldn't be God. But I want you to know God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether it's in your discipline or not, God's doing it. It might be well if you'd go to the Bible and leave your discipline off for a little bit. Somebody said, well, my granddaddy and granddaddy never taught, grandmother never taught that. Amen. But the apostles taught it. The disciples taught it. The people of God taught it. The Bible teaches it. So then let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. When we come together, we don't need to criticize, do we? You know, a lot of people, they'll look at the preacher and they'll listen to what he's got to say and they'll say, well, I don't know about that. Amen. I don't know about that. And the way they judge the situation of God is in their little finite mind. Folks, we're no bigger than a little bug in the sight of God. We're no bigger than a little speck in the sight of God. And what God tries to do, we judge it in our little finite mind, and we limit God the same way that the elders in the wilderness did, and we limit God the same way that the people back in the days of Moses did, and when we limit God, God gets upset with us. That was the thing God cut them off from in the wilderness. It's because they limited God. God is not limited except in your heart and mind. Tonight we can have a limited God. How many of you know that? But the God that is limited because of your understanding, because of your believing, because you've not applied yourself to understand God, to know what God has for you, to know what God wants to do for you, to know how God feels about you, and you've limited God in your life by going to doctrines and disciplines and all of those things that are not of God. There's one thing wrong with discipline. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe in discipline? I certainly do. There's one I believe in. That's the Bible. Any other discipline doesn't grow. Hallelujah. This discipline's got a dimensional depth that allows for growth. Other disciplines do not have a dimensional depth in it. If they're set back in the 1940s, then you've got to live all your life like the 1940s does. Come on, folks! Amen, but the Bible's not like that. Amen, it's got a dimensional depth to it. And you can go on with God. God knew what and knew what he was doing when he set it up. Amen, if I set up a doctrine of discipline today, 2 years from now, it might not work for the people. But the Bible will work 2 years from now. The Bible will work 10 years from now. God has it set up to where it will work from now on. Amen, it allows for our growth. I like that discipline, don't you? It's the doctrine of God, not the doctrine of devils. Come on. The Bible speaks of doctrines of devils, but I'm speaking of the doctrine of Christ. Got a lot of fancy preachers come through and they'll say, well, Brother Pike, we don't teach doctrine. I talk to some of them, they say, I don't teach doctrine. I say, you don't? No, I don't teach doctrine. You know why they don't teach doctrine? They want the Assemblies of God to come to their meetings. They want the Church of God to come to their meetings. They want the UPC to come to the meetings. They want the Baptists and the Catholics to come to their meetings. And they want to be able to get a big pocketbook. Hallelujah. The yoke looks like it's broken, James. Hallelujah. So then, what is God doing? Amen. God's doing something. Hallelujah. Amen. They want them all to come to their meetings and they don't make any allowance. Hallelujah. For any kind of doctrine, because they're afraid they'll cross somebody up. But folks, let me tell you, when you do that, you get a house full of devils and demons and evil spirits. You get, that is the devil in his power and in his image working, and you've got a mess of confusion that people don't know what's right anymore. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe the multitudes ought to come together? I should do. But I believe they ought to come together on the strength of God's doctrine, on God's Word.
A lot of people say, well, I don't think we'll ever see eye to eye. According to the Bible, we will. A lot of people say, I don't think we'll ever walk hand in hand, but according to the Bible, we will. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I don't think we'll ever get together, but the Bible said we will. He said, when I bring Zion again, they won't have any trouble seeing eye to eye. He said, they'll see eye to eye. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, your doctrine's different from mine. Your discipline's different from mine. But the Bible will say, when I bring Zion again, that Zion will speak the same thing. They'll speak the same discipline. They'll speak the same doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. What kind of doctrine is that? The doctrine of Christ. Paul said, who can I teach doctrine? Who can I teach doctrine? These boys that come through and say, we have no doctrine. We have no doctrine. That's true. Amen. You know why they have no doctrine? Because they're of the devil. Amen. They mean they have no doctrine of Christ, that they got a doctrine of the devil. How can anybody preach without a doctrine? How can anybody do anything without a doctrine? Amen. You ever heard the doctrine of Monroe? Amen. We have the Lord. So then God's doing a new thing. Isn't that right, folks? God's wanting to do something new. You've got to have a doctrine. If I come up here and I say, folks, I don't have any doctrine, you know what kind of doctrine I got? My own philosophy. My own mind. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, the thing that I'm afraid I'll follow man. Amen. Just as long as you think about man in your mind that way, you're already following man, you're already following woman, whoever you are, that's who you're following. Amen. If you can't follow what I say, then you follow what you think. And you're a man and you're a woman. Amen. But when you begin to follow the Word of God, amen, when God begins to speak to you, amen, from the ministry, and you start following the ministry, then, folks, you'll get on the right trail. Hallelujah. People strain their gnat and swallow a camel. Isn't that right? Blind leaders of the blind, the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then it looks like we're getting off to a good start. Seems like we're speaking the same thing tonight. Hallelujah. Ain't but one way, and that's the right way. He said, I'm the way. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Park, you mean you're the way. He said, it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father that's within me. I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the light. Hallelujah. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then the Bible said he'll come out of Bethlehem. Somebody said, well, I'll dispute that. Hallelujah. Got a dispute on your hand to start with. Got a dispute. Somebody said, well, don't you know he'll come out of Bethlehem? Somebody said, I'll dispute that. And they got in such a dispute that after a while, when Jesus come over there talking to him, he sat down and got in dispute with him. Amen. The Messiah done come, and they were still disputing. They were disputing about which church is going to come through, and who knows what this talking about, splitting theological hairs over it. And here the Messiah comes and sits down in the midst and begin to listen to their dispute. Amen. He sat down and listened to their dispute. And when Paul the Apostle come on the scene, Jesus had already come, died, resurrected from the dead, and Paul was still disputing with the people. But I disputed the scriptures daily. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Amen. But it sounds good, don't it? Amen. It sounds good. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're talking about conquering death. I don't know about that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you what. Some of you ladies, if you'll get a hold of that man right, you'll get him straightened out. Amen. You say you believe in the lady ruling over the man. I believe the man ruling over the lady, but I believe in God ruling over the man. Amen. Husband, if you'll get that wife straightened out, she'll be a better wife to you. She won't be leading you around. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm not spiritual enough to follow God. I have to follow my wife. Well, you need to be born again. Amen. Any man that has to follow the woman, there's something wrong with him. Amen. Every time the woman gives a man advice, that's perversion. God isn't in it. Come on, folks. I said God's not in it. That's perversion. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. We talk about the church. The song said, let the church roll on. Hallelujah. Let the church roll on. How do you like to let the church roll on? It's got to roll on. Amen. The church has got to roll on, folks. So then what we need to do is get the horse in front of the cart. Is that right? Amen. Get the thing changed around, folks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was talking to the man down at the Valdosta Tent Company today, and I baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not trying to put my light under a bushel. Somebody said, bless God, I won't be back tomorrow night. You can't help it if he sends you out here. Well, then nothing you can do about it. Bible said the preparation of man's heart from God. Hallelujah! God creates the evil. God creates the good. God works all things that the counsel of all will. God holds the king's heart in his hand and turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but I'm church of God. I preach in the church of God and they love me. Amen. So I'm assembly of God. I preach in the assembly of God. They love me. I baptize the preachers in Jesus' name. I said, I baptize the preachers in Jesus' name. The Baptist, I baptize the preachers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I baptize the Catholics in Jesus' name. There's one sitting right there. Baptize the Church of Christ in Jesus' name, sitting right here. Hallelujah. God has the people. And he's among the generations of the denominations. Hallelujah. So then, God's doing a new thing. I'm going to say this and then open the door for it anyway. God has never had a Trinity move. Come on. God ain't never had a Trinity move. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Not for the church, my brother. Not for the man-child. Not for that which is to be caught up to the throne. God ain't never had a Trinity move. You say, well, how did it get in? The Bible said God blinded the Jews in darkness till the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Is that right? Blinded them in power and put them in darkness. Hallelujah. Shut them outside until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Is that right? When the Jews was blinded, what happened? About 300 years after the death of the apostles there, when old John about 96 A.D. was put to death, about 200 or 300 years later, what happened? 325 A.D., they had a little council and got together, didn't they? In a place called Nice, didn't they? And somebody said, I want to have a dispute with you. Amen. Somebody said, it reads like this over in Matthew 28. Somebody said, well, it reads like this in Acts 2:38. And somebody said, it don't matter how it reads in Acts 2:38, I'm the boss. Amen. This is the way we're going to have it. And somebody said, all right, I'll keep my head. Amen. Amen. I'll keep my head. Somebody else said, I'm going to take Acts 2:38. They said, send it to the chop block. Send the chop block. Amen. We ain't going to have no Jesus name preachers around here. Hallelujah. I talked to that boy down at Valdosta today. It makes a tense. He said, you mean you've been baptized in Jesus' name, Brother Pike? I said, I sure have. He said, but Brother Pike said, they'll call you Jesus only. Oh, my, ain't that awful? Ain't that awful? The Bible said they went away suffering shame for his name, but our people ain't going to suffer shame for nothing, are they? Amen. No respect for the name of Christ. Glory to God, they'll suffer a name. They'll suffer shame for a name whether Christ dead and plucked up by the roots. A name that they live, but they're dead. But they won't suffer shame for the name Jesus. Come on, folks, what are you suffering for? Amen. He said, you're Jesus only? I said, no, I ain't Jesus only. Amen. I'm Jesus' name. The Bible said, they that are called by his name. Is that right? So I've come to make a name for myself. I'm not Jesus only, I'm Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'd like for somebody to explain to me what Jesus only is. The only thing I know about Jesus only, when they tried to build three tabernacles, Jesus said, speaking to him there, the Heavenly Father from heaven, he wanted to build three on a mountain. He said, no, there ain't no need to do that, so just build one. And the Bible said, when they looked, they saw Jesus only. That's the only Jesus I know. Amen. If that's the Jesus only they're talking about, I'm pretty happy about the situation. Hallelujah! If God testified to it, I'm satisfied with it. Amen. Speak the same thing. Glory to God, I'm liable to dance a little bit up here. Amen. Be sure to get permission. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God, the souls are loosed in prison. God's bringing them out. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Pike, why are you preaching like you're preaching? When I got through that fella at Valdosta, he looked over at me. He's church of God. He said, you know what? He said, I never thought of it like that before. Amen. He saw a new light. He saw something different. Glory to God, there's a lot of good folks in them churches that never thought about it like that. But I'll tell you what, when they hear about Jesus, they're going to love him. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, God has never had a Trinity move for the church. Never, folks. God's always been Jesus. How many believe it's the body of Jesus Christ? Let me say something that don't alarm you here. How much was it? How many was there saved in the days of Noah? Eight? Is that right? Let's just look at it. I mean, how many was there saved in the days of Lot? A little later on, four? Hallelujah. How many was there saved when they took them out of Egypt over there? Caleb and Joshua. Hallelujah. And now we got down to this day. How many saved? One, hallelujah. Eight, and Billy Curtin hasn't made four. Billy Curtin hasn't made two. Billy Curtin hasn't left one. That's Jesus only. Hallelujah. That Jesus only will do. Hallelujah. So Billy Curtin, he hasn't made Jesus. Is that right? And today nobody can be saved but Jesus. Come on. The Bible said not one was found worthy to open the book. Oh, Brother John said, look, but no man in heaven or earth was found worthy. Brother Roberts wasn't worthy. Brother Branham wasn't worthy. Brother Osmond wasn't worthy. The state overseers wasn't worthy. Christ was worthy. The Bible said in that day that Christ alone shall be exalted. Come on, folks. So then you say, what are you talking about? Wasn't but one left. Glory to God, when God got through, he couldn't find but one. Like a song we wrote, you know, about the chief cornerstone. Maybe they'll sing it here one night. Hallelujah, the chief cornerstone, what was it? Said he searched through heaven and earth and couldn't find nobody. So, Lord, I'll go down and do the job myself. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you know this move is to the youth? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I dispute that. Don't you know this is to the aged ones? We have worship before God and serve God. Glory to God, when Jesus came, he confounded them both. Amen. Hallelujah. If it had been 17 years old, it went to the youth. If it had been 60 years old, it went to the aged ones. So it just took 12 years old and sat down and said, little child will eat you. Hallelujah. Amen. Said it ain't to the youth, it ain't to the aged, to God. God lifted up one. God puts down another. God creates the good and evil, has his way in both. Amen. Works all things at the counsel of his own will. So then the Bible said that it might not be to him that willeth or him that runneth, but to God that showeth mercy. God's going to have his way in this thing, folks. Oh, glory. I'm feeling better and better and better. Hallelujah. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that God's got a move in the earth today. God's never had a Trinity move. Never. Then you say, how did that Trinity move get started? It started 325 A.D. What was it for? Because the Trinity is the woman. Come on now. I want to talk to you a few minutes about it and explain a little thing, can we? Can you simmer down long enough to get a little something tonight? Okay, you say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm trying to tell you tonight, folks, that that Trinity veil represents the woman. It represents the world. Amen, it represents the world. Why Trinity? Because the Trinity is a veil. Hallelujah, I could say a lot about that tonight if you had time to listen. But the Trinity is a veil. It's a woman. Is God using the Trinity? Yes, God's using the Trinity. Somebody said, you don't believe in Church of God folks who got the Holy Ghost. They sure have. Some of them. You don't believe in Assembly of God people got the Holy Ghost. Some of them. You don't believe in people got the Holy Ghost. Some of them. Amen. There's some good ones in the Catholics, some good ones in the Baptists. Somebody said, now you just leave that Catholic thing out, Brother Pike. If I did, I'd have to leave Brother Gonzalez alone. He was Catholic. Amen. Some people I won down on Skid Row in Portland, Oregon a few years ago, I'd have to leave them alone. They were Catholic. Amen. The brother sitting right back here, my son-in-law, was Catholic. Amen. One to God. You understand what I'm saying? Got some Baptists out here. One to God. Let me see your hands. Got a Baptist out there. Amen. Had some Baptists. One to God. Glory to God. See, God is doing something by his Spirit. He's doing it through his people. Somebody said, you mean to tell me he's going to save that Baptist church? God ain't got no Baptist church. Where you ever reading the Bible about a Baptist church? Somebody said, well, he must be going to save the Church of God. Where'd you ever read that? Somebody said, I read in the King James Version, it says, the Church of God, but if you'll get the original, it said the Assemblies of God, so that puts the Church of God out there, puts him in bad shape. You're going to do it that way. Have to give the preeminence to the Assemblies. Come on, folks. Amen. Talk about serving God. God's way and preaching the word. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean, that Trinity world has been like the kangaroo. I spoke of it last night. Got the little pouch for the carrying of the child. Is that right? Amen. The mother carries the little child. Is that right? That Trinitarian veil had to carry that child. Is that right? Oh, now there's the answer right there. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, as long as the mother's carrying the child, what is the name of the child? Come on. Amen. What's the name of the child? Somebody said, we named our child before it was born, but you could have made a mistake. Come on. Come on, you could have made a mistake. He said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I said, what if you named a girl and it was a boy? What if you named a boy and it was a girl? Oh, but the doctors told us, but they made mistakes. They've made mistakes. They've said positively to be one when it turned out to be another. Amen, that's right. So then where's the name of the child? While it's in the veil, there is no name for the child. Amen, the name hasn't been given. Hallelujah, because it's in the veil, folks. It's still be carrying, hallelujah. The church is still carrying it. Come on. So then the church world is carrying it within the veil, is that right? Let's look at it a minute. Old Brother John caught a revelation. He looked away to heaven, and there in Revelation 12, what did he see? Come on now, he said, I saw a woman standing on the moon. Let's talk about her a few minutes, can't we? Said, I saw a woman standing on the moon. Is that right? Old Brother John said, I saw a woman standing on the moon. I want that to soak in there. Said, I saw a woman standing on the moon. Is that right? Thank you, Brother Taylor. Come on, are you listening? Said, this woman was standing on the moon, and said, I looked and said, I saw the moon under her feet. I saw the moon under her feet, and I saw a crown of 12 stars on her head. Is that right? Is that right? Said she had on a garment like the sun. Is that right? Hallelujah. She was founded upon the law and the prophets. Come on. Hallelujah. Israel standing upon the law and the prophets, waiting for the coming Lord. Hallelujah. And Israel, the body which is Israel, is to be redeemed. Amen. At Calvary, the body went out of the presence of God. I brought out a little of it last night. The body went out of the presence of God. I said, God used Israel for a scapegoat. Is that right? When they killed the head Jesus, what happened? The membership of the body died. Is that right? When he resurrected the head Christ, then the spiritual Jew resurrected. Come on. Amen. I said, there's a spiritual Christ, which is the head of a spiritual Jew. And there's a natural Jesus that's the head of a natural Jew. I said last night the veil was rent in twain because the Bible said Jesus made in himself two, which is twain. He made himself both Lord and Christ. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then when God rent the veil, said, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Are you listening? Said, destroy it, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Are you dull of hearing tonight? Can you hear what the Spirit's saying to the church tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain, for they knew not that Christ spoke of his body. Amen. They were so natural-minded, they were thinking about an earthly temple. Said, oh, 40 years or more we spent building this temple, and you say that you will destroy it in 3 days, or raise it up in 3 days. Amen. Said, we'll destroy it, and then you'll raise it up. But the Bible said they understood not that he was speaking of this temple. How do you believe that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. Jesus said, destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. Did he keep his word? Did he keep his word? And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. In twain, the Lord and the Christ. The separation of the Lord and the Christ. He made it himself, Peter said, both Lord and Christ twain too. And the Bible said the temple was rent in two. It was rent in twain. What was it? It was the Lord separated from the Christ. The Lord was Jesus. Amen. And God separated Jesus from the Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. What are you talking about? I mean that the Jesus could not have died unless the Christ had stepped out of the body. Come on. As long as that Christ was in the body, he couldn't die. Amen. That's why God said he yielded up the ghost. He had to yield up the Christ. Amen. So that he could taste death for every man. You follow me? So then the separation of the Lord and the Christ, the temple was rent in twain. Then what happened? That Lord over in the old country, they call him Lord of the house. I'm afraid our ladies ain't got that far along yet. Come on. Over there they say, you want to see my Lord? Amen, but our ladies ain't got that far along yet. Somebody said, wait a minute now, Brother Pike. Hallelujah, wait a minute. Glory to God, but what does the Bible say? Amen. Said they say we're called Abraham. Well, there's men like that, don't they? Hallelujah! That's getting the horse before the cart. Amen. Why does God want the man to lead? Because the man shows Christ. Why does God want the woman to follow? Because she shows the church. Amen. And God don't want the church leading him around. Come on. And that's why God made the woman the weaker vessel. Is that right? So that she would be subject to the man, to show that the church was to be subject to Christ in all things. Is that right? So then it's not a bad place to be. Not a bad place to be. Somebody said, well, as long as I obey that Bible, I don't care about my husband. But lady, let me tell you something. This Bible was written in behalf of your husband. Amen. The only way you can serve God if you're married tonight is through your husband. Come on. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. What if my husband is an unbeliever? The Bible said if he's an unbeliever, he can be won over as he holds a chaste conversation of the wife couple with thee. Come on, said still I am. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, he's on his way to hell. But the Bible said God sanctifies the unbelieving by the believing. Hallelujah. Yes, your children be unclean. Is that right? God gives the sanctification over that unbelieving wife or that unbelieving husband because of the believer. Amen. That sanctification won't take him to heaven, but it'll do while he's living. Somebody said, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. If he sanctifies it through that believer, then why come it won't do on the other side? Because when he dies, he's no longer married to the companion. Come on. Come on. Amen. He's no longer the companion of that person. He's dead. She's free. He's free. Is that right? So then the sanctification's coming from the living. Therefore, he has no sanctification. It won't go beyond the grave, but it'll do on this side. Hallelujah. God does that. To take care of your children, folks. So they can smile on your children. If he didn't do that, he couldn't smile on your children. They'd be a bunch of bastard children in his sight. Hallelujah. But he can smile on them and watch after them and help you with them. You love the Lord? Glory to God. This really hurts some folks. Well, amen. We don't want to say too much because I want to keep you till I can get through preaching. All right. Since everything's running well, we'll just go on. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then the veil of the temple was rent in twain. God separated the Lord from the Christ. What was it? It was God separating from the church. That's right. God was separated from the church. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God left the church in the wilderness? What was it? It was the Jews. The Christ was separating from the Jesus, which was the head of the natural Jew, that the Jew might die. When they killed the head, they died. The membership died. They become the scapegoat of the Old Testament. Is that right? The scapegoat, they laid their hand upon the head, and they put the blessings of whatever was upon him, and they sent him away in the wilderness to wander. Is that right? The Jews went away in the wilderness to wander until the fullness of the Gentiles could come in. God made them the scapegoat. I'm glad it is here that we never got in. Hallelujah. So then he made them the scapegoat, and they had to leave the church in the wilderness so the church would die. I always wondered how Paul knew this. Paul made the statement that if the casting away of the Jews will be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? I thought, God, how can you know that? And one day when God showed me the revelation of the veil rent in twain and the separation of the Lord in Christ, I saw that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with the membership of the Jews, represented our natural body that's dead because of sin, out of the presence of God and buried in a watery grave in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Out of the presence of God because of sin. And that's why Paul said we wait for the redemption of our body, which is the purchased possession. Is that right? It is the purchased possession. It's what he spilled his blood for. When old Brother John in the book of Revelation looked and nobody was able to open that book, what was that book? Amen. That seven-seal book, what was it? That seven-seal book was the book of redemption. That was the book that no man had a right to. That was the book that nobody could open. Hallelujah. Preachers could preach and say good things, but only one man had a right to that book of redemption. You follow me? Nobody had a right to that book of redemption but Jesus. Oh, Brother John looked, and there he looked, and the Bible said God looked through heaven and earth, but he couldn't find nobody worthy. He looked under the earth, and he couldn't find nobody worthy. And old John began to cry. And John bawled and John cried. And John wept and John said, I wept much. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what was he doing crying, Brother Pike? John knew that if nobody could reach that book of redemption, that he was lost. And that all the world was lost. And there was no hope for humanity. Because that was the book of redemption. You follow me? That was that church book that was sealed from the time that God set up the church at Pentecost over to the coming of it, when the rapture would bring Jesus Christ, which would be the unveiling and the finishing of the mysteries. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are you going to listen just a few minutes? In the Old Testament, they had a law in the book of Leviticus. Isn't that right? If they had an inheritance, that if it got out of the hands of the rightful owner, they had to return it within 50 years. Is that right? The year of Jubilee, when every debt was forgiven. If the rightful owner could not redeem it, then a near kinsman could do it. Is that right? Paying a part of whatever was due on it. They could redeem it until the next time of Jubilee. Is that right? That's why God chose the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival, to bring the Holy Ghost back. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I'm Pentecost. The word Pentecost is nothing more than a Jewish festival that God chose back there, just to symbolize the day of the freedom of the Spirit of God. Come on, folks. Hallelujah, that's Bible. So then they get blinded by the thing because they don't understand. But John saw that book of redemption. He looked and he beheld that book of redemption. You remember in the book of Ruth, how that there was a near kinsman that could come by. When Jesus Christ became relative to us who are in sin, he had to be a near kinsman, had to be relative to the flesh of sin. And so then he had to be made sin. Even had to come out of the tribe of Judah. Why the tribe of Judah? Because that was a half-brother. Come on. I said the 10 sons was half-brothers. Joseph and Benjamin was whole brothers. Isn't that right? Rachel was their mother, but Leah was the mother of the 10. Is that right? Out of the 10, a half-brother. Had to be a half-brother. What do you mean, Brother Pike, a half-brother? Because half of Jesus was made sin. His spirit couldn't be made sin, but his body was made sin. Is that right? He that knew no sin was made sin according to the Scriptures. Our sins that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right? Amen. So then he had to come out of the tribe of Judah. Couldn't come out of Joseph. Couldn't come out of Benjamin. They were whole brothers. Is that right? Had to come out of the half tribe. Come on. Now we could say a lot about that tonight. But anyway, we see that the veil being rent indicated that the body had to die. A separation. That means that we've got a half rainbow up there. A covenant. When John saw it, it was all the way around the throne, but we got half of it. You say, where do you get that? Over there when Abraham told Eliezer, his servants, said, slip your hand under my thigh. I want you to make a vow. Is that right? Hallelujah. Why did he do that? Because when Jacob wrestled with the angel, what did he do? He smote him on the thigh. Is that right? And that becomes something between man and God. And they remembered it. And when old brother Abraham got ready for a covenant, he said, slip it under my thigh. I want you to swear to me that you won't take to my son a wife of these people I'm living with. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you bother to get one of these people that I'm among. He said, but go get one from my kindred. Is that right? Get a wife from the kindred. Oh, brother Eliezer, being a type of the Holy Ghost, he went down there with his camels, didn't he? Had them 10 camels, which was a type of the law, the 10 commandments of God. He said, why did he take that? Because the Holy Ghost had to get the spiritual Jew, and the 10 commandments of law had to get the Jew. Is that right? Took them both down there. When he got down there, he said, the Lord said, if you're with me, he said, make my way prosperous. Hallelujah. And he prayed to God. He said, now God, he said, if you're with me, he said, my master sent me down here, and I'm supposed to get a wife, and I don't know which one to get. Hallelujah. That's a good place to get to, folks. When you realize that you don't know what to do, you just call on God and God will do it for you. As long as you think you got it figured out, God will never do anything for you. Follow me? And so down across that desert he went. Down across that long desert he went to get somebody for Isaac, the promised son. Hallelujah. All the wealth of Abraham was going to that promised son. Is that right? Have you got time to listen tonight? Going down there across the desert, when he got down there, he said, now, Lord, he said, I'm gonna put out a little fleece to you. And he said, Lord, he said, now, when these women come out in the evening time to draw their water, he said, the one that belongs to my master said, when I ask one of them for a drink, said, I want her to say, I'll draw for you camels too. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I said, this wife, this bride, this great one of God that belongs to the promised son that I'm speaking about, has got to nourish those 10 commandments too. Somebody said, them old 10 commandments, you don't have to mess with them. But the Bible said, love fulfills the law. Amen. God is love. Hallelujah. And when you got the love of God in you, you keep every jot and tittle. Hallelujah. So So then when he put out his little fleece, what did he do? When that fleece went out, here come that lady. And she come over to the well in the evening time to draw. The virgins came out to draw in the evening time. When she got over there, he went up to her and he said, "Lady," he said, "I look to have a drink." She said, "That's fine." She said, "Take a drink." She said, "I'll draw for your camels too." Don't that make you want to dance? Glory to God, that makes you want to dance, don't it? Hallelujah. She said, "I'll draw for your camels too." And so she began to draw. And old Eliezer's coat was already running over. He didn't need a drink. Hallelujah. He was like that woman over there by the well when Jesus come. Amen. There come the promised son to the woman at the well. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus Christ is saying, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And so then here, Eliezer, his cup was running over. He was drinking of that water that Jesus told that woman about over there. So then she said, "Well," said, I'll fix up the camels too." Hallelujah. And what did he do? He gave her an earring. Hallelujah. Why did he give her two earrings? Why didn't he give her two earrings? You know why he didn't give her two earrings? Because it's just a half a rainbow up there. Hallelujah. Why didn't he just give them both of them? Amen. He just gave her an engagement ring. Hallelujah. So the master gets over there, he'll take care of the rest of it. Hallelujah. How do you know that Paul said, "I've espoused you to one"? Is that right? Just one husband? "I've espoused you to one." When you get over there, he'll give you that marriage ring. You don't have the ceremony for marriage supper of the Lamb. Is that right? How are you looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb? All right, if God's espoused you, if the Word of God has espoused you to one, then my sister, my brother, you better stay clean and holy. Because this wife of his is without spot. She's without blemish. She's without wrinkle or any such thing. You better stay holy. You better stay pure. You better stay away from the world. You better not marry denominationalism. Because he's a jealous God. Hallelujah. He's a jealous God. I remember old Samson when he got upset down there. I remember that. Oh, Brother Samson got upset. He went down there and took himself a wife. Is that right? When he got down there and took that wife and he come back, he got a little bit upset with her and he run off for a few days. Amen. Sometimes the husband will get upset with the wife will get upset with the husband. But that don't mean they divorced each other. Oh, Brother Samson, he got a little bit upset. She didn't do this exactly like he wanted her to. So he run off and pouted a little while. Amen. He run off and pouted a little while. So I go back over to Daddy's. So I went back to Dad's house. Is that right? Hallelujah. Stayed up for a while, but Dad didn't fill the bill then. Amen. Dad's all right to get married, but after that, the whole situation changes. Amen. That's right. A lot of women run back home to Daddy, but that don't fulfill the bill, does it? Amen. They're still looking for that husband. There's going to come a time when they want him. And the Bible said after a while, said Samson's bowels yearned for his wife. Is that right? And the Bible said he just stood out there. He'd been away from her for quite a while. He looked out there and he looked across the fields of harvest and they were so beautiful. Oh, hallelujah. And a love spirit got a hold of him. Amen. As he saw the grain waving, a love spirit got a hold of him. Folks, the church may seem dead tonight, but after a while, when the grain begins to ripen and begins to blow in the breeze, a love spirit's going to get a hold of you. Now, you might can run down to the dime stores now and satisfy that desire. Hallelujah. You might can satisfy it with riding new automobiles and buying homes and lands and houses. But when the harvest begins to get ripe and you see them people riding for God, amen, a love spirit's going to move over you. And you're going to begin to think about your lover. Hallelujah. And you're going to yearn for Christ. The time is coming. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. A love spirit came all over Brother Samson. He said, "I'm going down there and get my wife." Oh, hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? When that veil was rent in twain at Calvary, what was it? It was the separation of that husband from the wife. The body represents the wife. The inner man represents the husband, Christ from heaven. And there was a separation. God was putting Israel away. Is that right? God was withdrawing from Israel. His wife of the wilderness wandering. What's the wonder around? Jehovah's wife was the wonder around. Is that right? So then he put her away for the spell. Now I want you to get this. I want you to understand what I'm saying tonight. Hallelujah. Have you got time to listen? Can I take a minute break to get a swallow of water? Hallelujah. I ain't going to hold you long. Just hold on for a few more minutes. Amen.
Glory to God, just caught the buckboard rattle. That don't mean the traces is loose. Just hold on. Amen. It's a rocky trail. So then when the veil was rent in twain, what took place? I want you to get this. That woman was standing on the moon, folks. The law and the prophet. Israel was standing upon the moon. And we'll bring us down to home base in a little while to show you where you're living. There stood the woman on the moon. Who was that woman? We know that, naturally speaking, that woman was Israel. What was it? It was Jesus hanging at Calvary. Now, I want you to see this now. Be spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as spirituals. It was Jesus' body hanging at Calvary. That was the woman. How do you know that the flesh is considered a woman in the sight of God? Amen. That's right. And so the fleshly body of Jesus was the woman. What did John say about this woman? He said, I saw this woman in travail. I said last night, America's in travail. She's a woman. Let's hold on. Amen. The earth is in birth pains right now, ready to bring forth a Superman. That's right. He's coming forth. So then, standing there, or hanging there between heaven and earth, there was Jesus. Hallelujah. There was Israel, founded upon the law and the prophets. The A.D. coming up to Jesus. Is that right? Hallelujah. Coming up from beneath. Is that right? The lesser light. And Jesus standing between that lesser light, which is the moon, the reflector. Amen. Israel doesn't have the Holy Ghost. They just reflect the Spirit. Is that right? They reflect the glory of God. But here on top of the woman's head, what was it? That was the crown, the 12 stars. What were those 12 stars? It was the apostolic teachings of the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And his word is the crown of life to our mind, to our head. Is that right? When we get the word of God in our head, it's God's word of life to us. It's the crown of life, the teachings of the 12 apostles. And there was the crown of life upon her head. Hallelujah. But how many know there was 13 stars there? 13 stars there. Amen. What was the 13th star? If you stand just a little and spread your legs and hold your hands out, you look like a five-pointed star. Amen. Grace. That was another star. What was that star? That was the bright and morning star hanging between heaven and earth. How do you know that? Amen. The Bible said the wise men saw a star in the east. What kind of star was that? That wasn't the 12 foundations of New Jerusalem. The Bible said that was Paul the Apostle, the light of that city. Paul said, I've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the light of the Gentiles. It's not a dim light, but it's a great light. Hallelujah. The revelation was made known unto me. He said, it's the light of the world. Woo, hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. So then the bright and the morning star hang between heaven and earth. What star? The 13th star. That brings America in, calls America the woman. That's why she has 13 colonies. You understand what I'm saying? Glory to God, she's suspended between God and that country over yonder. Hallelujah. Religious. Not like that country, but not like God either. Come on. Amen. Not paganistic like that country, but not like God either, caught in between. You follow me? Hanging between heaven and earth, every country shooting at her. But God still gives her the victory, is that right? So then, hanging between heaven and earth, as the woman hang between heaven and earth, she was in hard travail. Jesus went into hard travail, and the blood and the water came forth. The blood and the water came forth. Amen. The blood and the water came forth. When God let a deep sleep come over Eve, over Adam, what did God do? He reached into the side of Adam, and out of the side of Adam, he took that beautiful bride. Is that right? Christ hanging between heaven and earth. They split the cleft of the rock. Glory to God, they split the cleft of the rock. And out come the blood and the water that signifies the life. Hallelujah, out come the membership of his body. Royal blood flowing through his veins. Hallelujah, hanging between heaven and earth. You follow me? Out come that beautiful young lady. Woo, don't you feel good? Amen. I made the statement last night that God does his own beauty work. You don't need a worldly beautician because God's got a good beautician. His name is Jesus Christ. Yes, that's a young beautician right here. He just gave up his beauty parlor to go with God, this young man right here. Amen. He found a beautician better than himself. He decided to get in training and learn some more about it. And since he's been in training, he learns that God beautifies the meek with salvation. That saves a lot of money. You don't have to buy the equipment.
Hallelujah. Amen. The customer's better satisfied too. Got no complaints. So then you understand what I'm saying tonight. Out come that beautiful lady. When Moses was up on the mountain, what took place, folks? The Bible said that God hid him in the cliffs of the rock. And Jesus said, upon this rock. Hallelujah. Hid him in the cliffs of the rock so he could see the glory of God. Isn't that right? Wanting Moses to be a reflector. Was he a reflector? When he come down off the mountain, he had a veil over his face. Is that right? Why? Because he was a reflector. His face showing the law reflected the moon, the law and the prophets. Is that right? It was a lesser light. Amen. And Paul speaks of that light being within the veil. Is that right? That light within the veil, that's where your denominational powers is. The third power that's coming in is the unveil, the revelation of Christ. But the Trinity world still relates back to the old world. It relates back to that body out there of the Jew, which is dead now in the presence of God. Somebody said, what do you mean when women run around and pedal pushers? Oh, that's part of a congregation then. When women run around the pedal pushers, and some of them run around in mini skirts, they go the other part. Come on! Hallelujah! When you get left, you ain't got nothing but the church! That's the only one that'll endure sound doctrine. So then what happens? They bob their hair off. Why do they cut their hair off? Because the Bible said that the hair is typical of the glory of the church, and the government's supposed to be upon the shoulder. Satan will say, rat it up, pin it up, bob it up, tie it up, cut it off, do anything with it. But get it off of the shoulder. It torments me. You remind me of that lovely lady. You remind me of that lovely lady that I can't defile, that I can't touch, that I can't get to. Amen. He's defiled everything in the earth, but that lovely lady, he can't touch her. She's without spots. She's without blemish. Hallelujah. I think the day we're living in really shows that you can't hardly find a lady anymore. The Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies, but who's going to find one of them in the day we're living in? I'll tell you what, that's wonderful, folks, to be able to find the virtuous lady. Amen. The devil couldn't get his filthy paws on her. Somebody say amen. Amen. When Jesus looked there, or when Satan stood there and looked at Calvary, he looked at that Jesus that was hanging on the cross. He saw that lovely lady. He saw the membership of God. He saw the body of the Lord Jesus Christ without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. And he looked at her, and you know what he said? Oh, Jesus looked back and said, you don't have no part in me. Amen. Amen. You defiled everything else in the earth, but Satan, you ain't never even been able to raise my temper.
Come on.
You ain't got no part in me. You've never even been able to get my temper stirred up. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you got no part in me. That the prince of this world cometh, but he doesn't have any part in me. He didn't defile that bloodstream. He defiled Adam. When he defiled Adam, that old natural bloodstream of natural birth become the red dragon. Amen. I said that old natural birth that come in from the woman and from the side of sex and life become the red dragon. Is that right? And death began to work into it. Amen. But when Jesus got down to Calvary, he ended blood life. He spilt the blood. He ended it. He held his hands up against it. Every man that ever been born in the world had been born of that same blood, because the Bible said God made all nations of one blood. Every child that was ever born in the world was born into sin because it was born of that bloodstream. Is that right? Sin, the spirit of the devil, was already working in the veins. Is that right? But when Jesus came, Jesus wasn't born of the blood of Adam. The Bible said he wasn't born of the will of man. It wasn't an urge. It wasn't a passion. It wasn't the five senses moving over Jesus. He was born of the Spirit of God. The God of God. Born of the wonderful Spirit of the living God. Not begotten of the will of man, but the will of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God created a bloodstream. That Virgin Mary, she began to think about the prophecies of old. And the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. Mary said, could it be me? Could it be me? Could it be me? All the virgins was hoping, you know. But Mary said, could it be me? And she prayed a little more and fast a little more. Think about it a little more. Could it be me? She said, oh, I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe it is. Hallelujah. She got a little closer and began to feel the Spirit of God. Got a little more pure, a little more holy. And after that, she said, oh, glory to God. It is, it is, it is. And about that time, the Holy Ghost began to come upon her. And sure enough, it was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you one thing. When you get in touch with God and you begin to say, I think so, I think so, I think so, I think so. Amen. You're getting closer. Amen. Get along. I hope so, hope so, hope so. Amen. But after a while, when you get the feeling of the Holy Ghost, woo, you say, I know, sir, I know, sir, I know, sir. I know that I pass from death unto life. I know that I pass from death unto life. I feel the tugging on the other end. Hallelujah. I've used the expression a lot of times. You know that little boy that's got the cry. When I was a kid, I'd send it out of sight. You know, you see a little boy, he'd down here and somebody come by and say, hey, fellas, where's your kite at? Oh, you ain't got no kite. I said, yes, it is. It's up there. Oh, somebody said, but it ain't up. I don't see it. I said, but it's up there. I feel the tug. I feel the tug. It keeps tugging on the string. I know it's up there. Somebody said, where is that God you got? Where is that Jesus? He's on the other end. I feel him tugging. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You go fishing and you get a bite, you feel the tug on the other end. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You better get a good test line, though. Amen. I've been learned by experience. Hallelujah. I've been out deep sea fishing. I'd land them so big it popped the line. I couldn't get them in. Amen. You better have a good test line. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean one that's tried in the fire. Amen. He said, I counsel you to buy me that raiment tried in the fire. That white tent that we're getting down here is typical of that raiment tried in the fire. Amen. It's going to draw all them together. That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something there wasn't but one left. Jesus. There wasn't but one saved. Eight saved in the days of Noah, four saved in the days of Lot, two saved in the days of Moses. And we come over here and it's got one saved. That's Jesus. Is that right? Jesus. So then if you're not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular night, you can't make it. Amen. He's heir of the glory of God and only one can be heir to it. And you've got to be a member of that body. Paul said the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. Got royal blood flowing through the veins. If you don't belong to that body, you didn't make it. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, how do I know that I belong to that body? Because the Spirit of God lives within you. And the Bible said His Spirit's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Spirit of the Holy Ghost testifies of the Word. If your life don't testify of the Word, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I speak in tongues. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. The rain's on the just and the unjust. I've seen people speak in tongues and smoke cigarettes and do all kind of things. Amen. Do a lot worse than that. Amen. That don't mean that you got the Holy Ghost. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. That's what I mean about getting tied up with disciples. It's not the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? That was good enough in the days of the Holy Ghost when he first fell back out there in 19:1. Amen. But now we've come into the light of God. Hallelujah. Is that right? Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Somebody said, be careful now if you say something, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I'll be as careful as I can. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Jesus said, I'm not lost to one of them. Amen. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I just listen just a few minutes. The Bible said, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. There you done it that time, didn't you? There you done it. Somebody said you done made something greater than the Holy Ghost. You done it now. Rent the discipline. It's going to turn you out of the church. Oh, hallelujah. Then if prophesying is greater than speaking in tongues, we ought to make that the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. But I know something greater than that. The Bible said, though you prophesy and have not charity. Come on. There's the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. If you have not charity, you're none of His. Though you have the gifts and do all of these things, you may speak in tongues, you may prophesy, you may bring deliverance, you may be bringing healing and all of those things. But if you don't have charity, somebody said, where do you get any such teachers at, Brother Pike? The Bible said Jesus Christ ordained 70. Isn't that right? Come on, folks. I said there were 70 men having some tent revivals back there. Somebody said, well, I don't read nothing about a tent. This is a little tent. Amen. The Bible said, lengthen your curtains and strengthen your stake. They were having some tent revivals back there. Is that right? Amen. While I was having tent revivals back there, having a great multitude, 70 of them, doing great miracles. But after a while, the revelation of Jesus Christ come. Somebody said, what are you talking about? He said, my food's good to eat. How my body's good to eat. For spirit, is that right? Oh, my. They said, what is this, cannibal? Come on now. We can heal the sick. We can cast out devils. But what is he talking about? Come on now. I said, a great revival. But Jesus said, come on, fellas, take a bite of me. Taste of God and see if he's good. He said, now, Jesus, you're taking this thing too far. After all, we don't mind a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but when we turn into cannibals, that's another situation.
Amen. You know what the Bible said? It said the tent revivals was over. Amen. And the Bible said the seven left him. And they joined the church of God, the Assemblies of God, the Baptists and the Methodists, and all of them joined the Catholic. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. And the Bible said she become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Is that right? The saints of God said this ain't where we live. Amen. So they moved over to Glory Avenue. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The revival to the world is over. But God's got a revival for the church. Something is moving in. The revelation of Jesus Christ is moving in, my brothers and sisters. It's moving into view. Can you stay just a little bit longer? I'm going to close. I promise you, give me just a little bit longer. I don't feel bad at me. She watered the camel's feet. All right. So then this peculiar woman, she was standing there. What was that great light that radiated out from her? It was the Holy Ghost. Oh, my, it was the Holy Ghost. She had the crown of life upon her head. She believed in what the apostles taught. Somebody said, what did them apostles teach? They said, be baptized in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost, for the remission of sin. And Peter said, let me interpret it to you. It's Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. I'm going to give a challenge tonight. And if you want to meet it, bring your preacher, bring your prophet, bring your bishop, bring your overseer, bring whatever you want to. But I challenge anybody in the world tonight to show me where Matthew 28 was ever fulfilled if it wasn't fulfilled in Acts 2:38. There is no place in the Bible, there's no record where Matthew 28 was ever fulfilled if it wasn't fulfilled in Acts 2:38. Amen. When they resurrected from Jesus, resurrected from the dead, what did he do? He appointed a place where he met the 11. Is that right? He met the 11 over there. Is that right? In a mountain where he appointed him, he met the 11. Somebody said, well, that's what's wrong. He didn't have the 12th one, and the 12th one knew it was Matthew 28. Amen. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to go where that 12th one went to. Because Judas had already gone out and hung himself. Come on. Amen. He didn't have but 11 back there. Is that right? And Jesus said to them 11, and I want you to listen. What did he say to them? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is that Bible? Was that the Great Commission? Who was he talking to? The 11 disciples. The 11 disciples. Do you believe they obeyed him? Do you believe they obeyed him? Do you believe they obeyed him? I'll tell you what, if they're the foundation of that city, and if they did not obey, and we're in bad shape tonight, we better close this book up and forget about it. If they violated it, we better forget it. Because the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, when Matthew 28 was fulfilled, 3,000 people was baptized in the name of Jesus, and that was the first church and the only church. Come on, folks! That was the only church. Hallelujah. When Philip had a revival down there, over in the book of Acts in the 8th chapter, what happened? The Bible said they baptized him in the name of Jesus. Come on. When Peter went down over in the 10th chapter to Cornelius, taking it over to the Gentiles, somebody said, all that Jesus' name was for them Jews. I know it's them spiritual Jews. Amen. When he went down there to the Gentiles, which was Cornelius, and opened a door that Paul the Apostle could go through. Hallelujah. When he got down there to Cornelius, what did he do? The Bible says he began to preach to them. The Holy Ghost fell upon him. I didn't felt the Holy Ghost fall here tonight. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. And they began to speak with tongues. That ought to make a church of God, assembly of God, or whatever kind of believer. If that's your doctrine, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Somebody said, I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Listen now. Come on. You ain't smart as you thought you was. Amen. Glory to God. When they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they got full of the Holy Ghost and they got through shouting, Peter said, praise God. There's some water. Be baptized in Jesus' name. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about?
I mean, when a baby's born, comes forth the water and the blood, but there has to be a name. This baby's name, Jesus. Amen. I said, this man-child's name, Jesus. Peter said, glory to God, that I shouted and jumped around here, and we've had a Pentecostal revival. Said, sure as the world is a little new fellow around here somewhere, and the neighbors will be down to see him. Said, what are you going to name it? Jesus. Said, they call his name Jesus. Not Church of God, not Catholic, not Baptist, but Jesus. Said, them that are called by my name. The others have a name that they live, but they're dead. Amen. Oh, I wish I could preach on a little while. Lord, I remember the days of Solomon. Them two women there in the bed, both of them had a child. Is that right? Amen. The morning time come, one of them was dead. One of them was dead. Amen. That woman sneaked that other child. Somebody said, well, what in the world would she want with another little old young'un? Oh, hallelujah, folks. Back in them days, if you didn't have that little old young'un, you was cut off from your birthright. You didn't have no inheritance. That woman's looking for an inheritance, so she reached over and stole that other baby. She knew what she was doing. What did she do? She was taking the inheritance away from that other woman. That other woman woke up, and she was nervous and tore up and said, my baby's gone. So they got into a dispute. She recognized the baby. So I said, well, we better take it before the king. Amen. He's got the answer, you know. He can solve dark sentences. Is that right? That's right. He knows the understanding. Old Brother Daniel had the answer. Is that right? Paul had the answer, so he better take it to the king. Hallelujah. So he took it up there, and old Brother Solomon, he began to think over that situation. That's right. He had to call on the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Solomon said, all right. But since it's a matter of inheritance, said, cut him in half, just divide him up. Come on. Come on! If it's just a matter of getting inheritance, I guess both of you have to get it. We just cut him in half. Make a trinity out of him. Come on. Come on, folks! Just cut him in half! That way the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, and everybody can have an inheritance. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondswoman, her child won't be heir with mine. Oh, Abraham said, this is grievous, said, do what Sarah said. Do what Sarah said, Abraham. Glory to God, hallelujah. Said, you're passing through the land of Esau. I didn't give him any inheritance. He sold his birthright for a morsel of bread when he wanted to go to the movies. I said, he had an appetite for television, what he had to offer. He just couldn't figure out how to stop that evil magazine from coming. He just said, he put it in the mail and it just got there. And them pictures on the wall was for the children anyway. They were in high school and they had to do a little loop-de-loop. Come on. Dress out a little bit, you know, and show off. Mama trying to satisfy the feeling on the inside of her. Junior had to go to the ball game, the races, because Daddy said, after all, he's just a child. Daddy wanted to go so bad, but was afraid to turn him off the beacon board. Somebody say amen. What is it, folks? The Bible said the woman smothered her child to death in the darkness. This world is dark. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I come into this dark world. And God reckons it's time from evening till morning. Is that right? When Adam fell from the light of God, he said, it's evening time, folks. Going to be night until Jesus comes over there at Calvary. It's going to be morning. Is that right? The day shall come. Is that right? He said, I've done like the old lamplighter. I've lit the little lamps along the trail out in the darkness. Now you're the light of the world. Is that right? Away for wayfaring pilgrims to see. Is that right? And the woman smothered the child to death. Be careful, Paul said, I travail with again until Christ be formed within you. Be careful of that little child in there. You'll smother him to death, and in the morning you'll find out that you don't have a Christ in there. You understand what I'm saying, folks? All right, let me hurry along, because I feel the spark's going out and somebody's not fanning tonight. Amen. So I'm going to hurry along. Stop here just a real quick little bit here. So then what happened? The baby was smothered to death. The woman had no inheritance. Solomon said, just chop him up into a trinity. It don't make no difference. Just divide him. Divide him. Is that right? So they nailed him to Calvary and they divided him. The Lord and the Christ. Is that right? Just divide him. But a cry came from glory. And the woman said, don't do that. I'd give up my inheritance to keep him from being hurt. Amen. I'll go down into the chambers of hell. I'll pass through the fire. Hallelujah, to keep him from being hurt. Oh, Brother Solomon said that's the cry of a mother. Ooh, hallelujah. Said that's the cry of a mother. Somebody said just make it anything you want to. Why, we Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and everything else is all going the same way. I agree with you. I agree with you. The head man, woman looked at me painted up like a Jezebel. She said, well, we're all going the same way. I said, Oh, no. Hallelujah, not so. Amen. The cry rose up from heaven. And somebody said, if it can't be Jesus' name, I won't have it at all. It ain't no good no way. Amen. Said, my child is a Jesus' name child. Said, that's the cry of a mother. Hallelujah. That's the cry of a mother. So then, the woman standing on the moon, what did it mean? Now look at it real close, folks, right hurriedly. What did it mean? When Jesus was buried at Calvary, that was the woman. When John saw the revelation about 66 years later, he recorded it in that little rocky island, 30 miles off of the west coast of Asia Minor. He recorded the vision. You follow me? John did it. 96 A.D. There he did. What was he writing about? He was writing about Calvary. I brought it out last night. I can't go through it tonight. We're running a little bit late here. So I can't go through it. I've got to hurry and close out. But there it was. What was it? The Bible said the opening of the matrix, the firstborn is holy unto God. Is that right? Is that right? The bowels of the earth yearned when he went down into that fire which symbolized the blood. And the Bible said the rocks was rent in twain, the heaven turned dark. The woman took the twilight shot, and she went off to sleep, and she began to groan. And this world began to travail, and after a while, she belched out the child. Is that right? The matrix was open. The firstborn of them that slept came forth. Is that right? And when the child was born, he was caught up to the throne. Now I want you to listen. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, how can that be the revelation if that was what John was speaking of? Oh, damn, that child caught up to the throne. Then that ends the thing. Now listen now. Be wise, be clean-hearted, and listen. You can have the revelation. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I mean, when the matrix is opened, the headship is presented. Is that right? That is the travail of the woman. Any woman knows that. Any man knows that. The travail of the woman is the headship. Is that right? The greatest travail a Christian will ever have in their life is producing the headship. When we come under subjection, is that right? When we produce the head of Jesus Christ, the mind of God, and us, the rest of it to take care of itself, is that right? The travail is there. You say, Brother Pike, why do you say that's the greatest time of sorrow? Because the physicians work from then on, is that right? They can take care of the rest of it. The woman don't have to travail after that, is that right? So then from Calvary, when the headship was born, the matrix was opened, the headship showed itself in heaven. It broke through the spheres of this old world. It went up beyond the galaxies and it broke through this old atmosphere and showed itself in heaven. Is that right? The headship had been born and the angels of God and the ministers and the prophets began to work, hallelujah, down through the church ages. Every membership was born. That was that book of redemption. That was that lost Adam coming back, that pure-blooded one being born. Do you follow me? Hallelujah. And every part of that child was born. Every time a little part of it came forth from the matrix, one of them angels began to sound the trumpet, and a seal was opened, and a new mystery and a new revival came. Seven stages of it, and at length the little toes was revealed. Hallelujah. And the very minute that child was born, that last angel sounded, and the mystery of God was finished. That great, mysterious body of God had at last been revealed to humanity. And the mind of God was made known to humanity. And just as quick as them little old toes was revealed, up he went to the throne. Up he went to the throne. Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, it was after the church ages when the mystery was finished. John said, it's finished. Is that right? And then the fourth chapter of Revelation, when the church ages was finished, a voice said, okay, John, it's over, come on up here. And the child went up to the throne, is that right? At the end of the church ages, I said last night, the door was open in heaven, and God gave Peter the key. That was the rent veil, the separation of the Lord and the Christ, is that right? But it wasn't made manifest to the book of Revelation 66 years later, and it still wasn't made manifest to our day, is that right? Said your witness to nations, John. Is he doing it? He's doing it by his writings today. John, you're a witness to kings and nations. He's doing it through my mouth and your mouth today. Is that right? It's his writing. It's his book. How do you understand what I'm saying? And so then the door is open in heaven tonight. What was that door? He said the ark of his testament was revealed. And I made the statement last night, when you write a testament, the thing in a testament is your last will. And that will is not effective unless the testator is dead. And inasmuch as Jesus Christ is now dead, then the testament is of effect. Is that right? And the veil was rent in twain, and he said, there, the testament was seen in heaven. Is that right? His testament was seen in heaven. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then if the testament was seen in heaven, that means that now the door is open in heaven, which means that we are caught up to the mind of God, which is the throne. We're in a different dimension. We're in a different elevation, changed from glory to glory. And I'm going to say this right here. There is no such teaching as rapture in the Bible. The word rapture means caught away. And I believe we'll be caught away. But God said in his word, we are changed from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from light to light, from measure to measure, ordained to the full measure, the full stature of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before that rapture, that catching away, if you want to call it that, folks, we got to be changed into the image of God. Hallelujah, from revelation to revelation. And then comes Thessalonians. You follow me? So then the door is open in heaven. Can you listen to this? This is the finishing. What happened when that child went up? Remember, the Trinity went away in a wilderness. You got it? The woman, Israel, the Trinity went away in a wilderness. Somebody said, what are you talking about, Brother Pye? I'm telling you, Church of God, folks, listen at me. I love you. I preach to you people. God bless you. Some of the sweetest and finest in the world. Assemblies of God, you're the same. I met some of the Baptists. Methodist, but let me tell you something. That woman went away into a wilderness. She was turned out of the presence of God to wander till the seven church ages is over. Why? Because according to the Old Testament, when that child was born, that woman spent 7 days out of the presence of her husband if it was a male. That was the time of the purifying. Israel was to come back into the presence of God at the end of the church ages. Is that right? To establish the millennium. If that was the woman going away in the wilderness, and if the Trinitarian veil is the woman that's carrying the child, are you listening? If that's the one that's carrying the child, and the child was born, the woman went away in a wilderness. What is that wilderness of time, time and a half of time? Which is the tribulation. There is where the Church of God's going, the Assemblies of God's going, the Methodist is going, the Baptist is going. They're going into the tribulation period. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that they're not going to be raptured? The woman was in heaven. It didn't say she was kicked out of heaven. She was in the presence of God. Are you listening? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? She was in the presence of God, but said the child went up a little higher. Who was he? Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I saw things I couldn't tell until the day Brother Pike come. Amen, because he would have raptured the church. So the child was caught up to a little bit higher. Amen. How do you believe the woman? The man's elevated a little bit above the woman. Man a little bit above the woman. Is that right? Brother William Branham represented that bride move. He was caught up and sat on the throne, didn't he? He said, where's Jesus? Sit up a little higher. Up a little higher. Brother Branham came to the Trinity world. Is that right? He was numbered with the Trinity world out there. You got it? I understand what I'm saying. When Rebecca came back across that desert, she was sitting on them 10 camels. Is that right? Had the veil over her face. What was the veil? The Jew, the law. But that was the bride underneath that Trinitarian veil. Is that right? When he come across that desert, what took place? When she got across it in the evening time, she saw Isaac. It's getting late, folks. I said, it's getting late. Too late for your television show, so just hold on a few more minutes. It's getting late. Hallelujah, we've got a vision tonight. Better than television. Hallelujah. This is a heavenly vision tonight. You understand? So then when she got across that desert, what happened? She spied that fellow in the evening time, and her heart began to lope like a rabbit. Amen. I tell you, if you ever catch a glimpse of him, hallelujah, you'll forget about mama and daddy and all the homeland and everything else. If you ever get one glimpse of him, you'll never look back again. Hallelujah. She said, say, Eliezer, who is that? Eliezer said, that's him. Oh, hallelujah, that's him. That's Elohim, hallelujah. That's the one I'm taking you to. Boy, her heart began to pound like that.
Old Brother Isaac raised up, he'd been meditating. You ever meditated? That's when you meet her. Hallelujah. Raised up, and Isaac looked around and he saw her. And his heart began to do like that. Come on, folks. Some of us said, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? You mean to tell me that Jesus Christ isn't longing to put his arms around his wife? Around his bride? We stopped at a little place today there. A little place that some boys sitting over there eating. And I just kind of eavesdropped a little bit. There's three of them kind of young. And one was just going and said, I'll be dancing with my darling tonight. Amen. The other two, they was keeping time with him, you know. God is waiting for his darling. I mean a real darling. Hallelujah. Something wonderful, something great. There's going to be a marriage, folks. The marriage supper world. The greatest marriage that's ever been. That little lady, she's coming. Isaac, he saw her. Come on now. And what did Isaac do? The Bible says she lighted down off the camel. I don't believe Eliezer had to help her much. She come down off that camel. Isaac probably tried to be a real gentleman, you know. Act like he wasn't too carried away. Amen! But the Bible said he took her into the mother's tent. That was the way they got married in those days. The Bible said when he took her there. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Look. God's got you under that Trinitarian veil. Come on. Come on. You can't see the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? The revealing of Jesus Christ. Is that right? God's a quickening spirit. Remember now. Amen. You're under that Trinitarian veil looking through a glass darkly. That old intellectual veil that dropped over the mind in the days of Adam. You keep looking at it. God through the natural. But then when you are married, he lifts the veil. And then you see him face to face. And you know as you know him. You see him. You don't look at him through a veil anymore. He lifted the veil and she became his wife. Folks, there's something taking place tonight. God's lifting the veil. And those that can see him will be his wife. Elijah said, Elisha, if you send me where I go, I'll give you that double potion, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You can cross over this Jordan. We're waiting for the purchased possession. That's the redemption of the body. You got one portion of it in the spirit. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? She became his wife. The mother of us all is heavenly Jerusalem. How many would like to go into that little tent tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. So then there's something taking place. That man-child went up and Satan went out. Is that right? Now I want you to get this. How did Satan get in anyway? He got in through the days of grace. Can you digest that just a little bit more? How did he get in anyway? How did the devil ever get up in heaven anyway to walk in the presence of God in the days of Job? How did he do that? Through the days of grace, the rain on the just and the unjust. Some of you unjust folks, you're the temple of the devil. And the devil lives on the inside of you. And as long as you got the days of grace, then that means the devil's in the presence of God. Come on. But how did the man-child kick him out? How did he do it? I'll tell you what, when he went up, the blood come off of the mercy seat. Is that right? Because the redeemed was out of the earth and God's angry with the wicked every day. When the blood came off the mercy seat, then Satan went out. Why? Because there was no more rain on the unjust, so Satan was not in the presence of God anymore. Is that right? That become the image of the beast that had the mark, hallelujah. It's coming with all these computers and some of the other things that we don't have time to preach tonight. That I can prove right on you. Just exactly the way the Holy Ghost showed it would be. Showing you things to come. Is that right? So then, folks, Satan went out when the blood come off the mercy seat and the Bible said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, he's among you. Said he'll be like a roaring lion. He knows he don't have but a time, time and a half a time. Just a short time. Is that right? He knows it's over. He knows he's whipped then. You understand? But where are we going to be? The song said, higher, 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 hallelujah. He's up a little higher. All right. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate you tonight. I thank you for your courtesy. Brother Taylor, can I get a little more of that water? I got water on my nose and on my head and all over me, and I still want some more. Folks, I appreciate you tonight. I really do from my heart. I appreciate you listening. I trust that we've not hurt you. The Bible said in many things we offend all. Blessed is he that is not offended in me in the Word. What I preach to you tonight is the Word. If you can prove that it's not the Word, Brother Pike will give you a personal apology. You won't have to force me. If you can prove that it's not authentic, not the Word of God, then I'll be glad to apologize to you. But if it is the Word, then we need to accept it tonight, that we might go back to our respective places of abode, wherever it might be, in whatever church it might be, and help those who are blind that don't understand in love and consideration, realizing some of them's just babes and can't understand, and help them to come on out of that thing. It's time to go home, folks. Hallelujah. I thought I'd get a big amen out of that. Can we sing a little chorus together tonight? Now, I preached a little bit long to you. I know that I did. The reason that I took a little more liberty is because tonight's the last night I'll be here. But Brother Blake is continuing on with the revival. And he's a wonderful brother. He's got some wonderful things. I know that if you'll come and work with him, there's no telling what kind of revival you'll have in this area.
Hallelujah.
Because it has to do with the loosing of the souls in prison. See, people are in a Trinitarian prison. They don't know that. Good folks. Even the overseers don't know it. Some of them are good folks. They're in that prison. And they don't understand. And if we'll use the love of God and be a skillful physician, you know, not a butcher, we can cut the disease out. They might get a little sore at us, but when they heal up, they'll love us. When they got problems, they'll come to us again. So, let's be courteous. Let's love one another. A new commandment. Love one another. Let's love one another. I took a little longer tonight because of that. And I promised last night that I'd pray for the sick because I didn't intend to take his long preaching. But if you want to tonight, if you'd like for me to pray for you, the Bible said the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much if it's effectual and fervent. And the Bible teaches that we're made righteous by him. How do you believe that? You know, I know that we teach sanctification. That's good. That's good. Sanctify yourself daily. That's Bible. That's good. But folks, Bible sanctification is that God hath once and for all sanctified us by the offering up of the blood of his Son at Calvary. We teach perfection as a gradual work. Let us go on to perfection. But really, that's comprehending. The preacher can't do nothing to perfect you, folks. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. We preach the word, and by the hearing of the faith, by the hearing of the word, your faith is perfected. See, the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So you've been sanctified once and for all, perfected forever. You're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But the only thing is you haven't comprehended the heights, the depths, and the width. So you haven't received the fullness of your inheritance. You're getting it by part in measure to measure to the full stature, which is perfection. Is that right? Comprehending toward the redemption of the body. Witting, like a witty invention, searching out, understanding, coming to the knowledge of, realizing that death is over, that the body is redeemed, moving from glory to glory. Enlightenment as the veil is dissolved with the brightness of his coming. That old intellectual reasoning. The revelation doing away with it, disintegrating in the brightness of his coming. The image of Satan, is that right? The old fallen, depraved image of man. You understand what I'm saying, folks? So then we are here to perfect your faith. Paul said, I wish this even the perfecting of your faith. So tonight I'm here to perfect your faith in God. That's what I'm trying to do. See, I tell you, if you promise you believe it, God purifies the heart by faith. Just as quick as you believe, the Holy Spirit purifies. You understand? So then, if you'd like for me to tonight, I'd be glad to pray for you. I believe in faith. I believe in the prayer. And I'll be glad to pray for you tonight if you'd like to be prayed for. While they're playing on the organ, we sang this little chorus. Thank you, brother. Note the double portion will soon come if I stay long. All right. Now, let's sing this little chorus together. The little chorus is Have Faith in God. Can we sing then? Have faith in God,
Can you sing with me? Oh, how faith in God. Let's have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Can you sing it again? Oh, have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Sing it with me. Let's have faith in God for our healing. Have faith in God. All the little ladies standing here, I wonder if there's anybody else tonight. Can you have faith in God? Would you like to be healed tonight? If you'll come on, we'll pray for you. Sing it one more time, can we? Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for our healing. Have faith. Listen, folks, it means something. These people that are sick, this means something to them. It might not mean anything to you. You might be healthy and whole. But if you're dying with cancer tonight, it means something to you. These people that I pray for, when people come up before me to be prayed for, I remember them in my prayers, and I remember them in my prayers, and I keep on remembering them in my prayers. I believe the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe, and if we pray, if we believe, God will heal. God will heal. God promised He would heal. The Bible said we'd lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Isn't that right? It didn't say maybe they would recover. Folks, when we begin to think about what if they don't, that's unbelief. But God said they would recover. Somebody say amen to that. Said the believers would do that. Are you a believer tonight? When I lay hands on these people, they're going to recover. They're going to recover. Hallelujah. God said they'd recover. God's going to heal them. Ain't no doubt in my heart about it. Hallelujah. He promised it and it'll work. It'll work. You want to be prayed for tonight? I'll pray for you. We don't have a little lamp here that you can come upon. Maybe Brother Isaac will have one before long. He's planning to get one, but we'll still pray for you. I can stand right along here on these steps, and I can pray for you. Hallelujah. Just give it to him, sister, if you'd like to give an offering. You going to believe with me tonight? How many of you really deep down in your heart believe God's going to heal these people? You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, I'd like to say that, but I'm afraid if they don't get healed, what will folks think about me? I don't care what they think about me. They're going to get healed. They're going to get healed. Amen. God's going to get healed. There ain't going to be nothing they can think about. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I pray for this little lady tonight. God, I pray for the healing virtue of Christ. I pray, Father, whatever this affliction is, mighty God of Jacob and of Isaac, I feel your presence. I feel your healing right now. I feel a faith right now. God, heal her little body. Make it whole tonight, Jesus. Father, let her go. Let her rejoicing tonight. Hallelujah. Make her whole. I feel your healing in Jesus. Glory to God. I feel God doing something already. I feel faith already. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this little mother tonight. I pray in the lovely name of your son tonight, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I pray that you'd heal her body. May she have new strength and new courage. God, may she feel something she's never felt before. God, may she be healed tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah.